So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, or in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's take our hymn books and turn once again to page number 56. Should be. Today we have Paul defending himself. He had some enemies, of course, as you know. They had already chased him away from Thessalonica, some of the people from the synagogue. And so he is defending himself, and here he's speaking of himself as the model servant, the one who is ready to serve the Lord. We find here in beginning in verse 1, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." So he came to them for a purpose, and that purpose was fulfilled. He came preaching the gospel, and many were saved. When Paul and his team came, first of all, the people listened attentively. They received God's word into their hearts. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And their lives were completely changed by the power of God. They turned to God from idols, it says, to serve the living and the true God. So during this time that Paul has been away now, he is writing back to them. He sent Timothy to see how they were doing, and then he is now writing them this letter to encourage them and to let them know that he is thinking of them and working in their behalf. So we find here that this is speaking to us of the ideal servant of the Lord and how we can emulate Paul's approach to ministry and in our lives, not just for the pastors and evangelists, but for everybody. We all are ministers, right? According to the scriptures, we all are to serve. We all are to do our part in spreading the good news of salvation. So this is what Paul is talking about here. Now this morning, I want to stop and have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word, and as we look into it this morning, we just ask you, Lord, to speak to us and teach us something that'll be helpful to us. We want to be your servants, our Father. We're here because we love you and that we want to worship you and serve you. And we ask you to bless each one who has come today and draw us closer to yourself and help us to walk in fellowship with you and to be the kind of person you want us to be, that we might love one another, might serve you faithfully. And I do pray, especially for those who cannot be with us today, I ask you to watch over them and help them. Some are quite ill, and we ask you to undertake for them especially. And we pray that we would all look to you and work together to bring glory to your name. Thank you for your constant care, for every blessing that we have. And we ask you to bless now your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we come here, we find, first of all, the faithful worker. Here he says, when we came, our entrance was not in vain. That is, we accomplished something for the glory of God. He's obedient to the calling that God had given to them. You remember Paul, he started out over in Asia Minor, right? And was continuing that kind of ministry, and God called him to go across to Philippi. The Macedonian man spoke to him in a dream, and he went over. And now he has come to Thessalonica and has established this church there. And he is carrying on this ministry from afar. He couldn't stay there. He was only there for a very short time. And yet now he's ministering to them through his written word. This is the purpose that we have here for the epistle. And he says in verse 2, even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated at Philippi, we were bold to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. See, there was always problems. Everywhere Paul went, he knew that he would have to suffer persecution. And yet he did it anyway because he was an obedient servant. That's the approach that we have to have. We had that again this morning in Sunday school about the temptations and trials of life. The stress that comes in our lives cannot be totally avoided. We have to face up to it, just like Paul did. He faced it at Philippi, and again, when he went to Thessalonica, he had the same kind of problems again. And yet, he continued to boldly proclaim the word of God, speaking forth the word, even in spite of the opposition that came into his life. And that's the way it has to be for all of us. Everyone will not accept what we have to say. But we need to say it anyway, because that's what God has given us to do. So looking on down, we find verse 3. He says, for our exhortation was not of deceit. He said, we didn't come to deceive anybody. We didn't come to pull the wool over your eyes, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. No doubt these were things that people have accused Paul of. Oh, you're just in it, to get a following. You want power. You want something to show for your life and this kind of thing. And Paul says, no, we didn't come that way. That's not our desire. It says we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You know, and that's our position today, isn't it? We have been entrusted with the gospel. And God has saved us by his grace and mercy so that we might be able to know the gospel and to proclaim it to others. And he said, this is the reason that we are speaking, not pleasing men, but pleasing God, who tries our hearts. You know, we can't please people. You know, you try to please people, you're going to get very, very dizzy. Trying to spin around and please this one and then please that one. And the first thing you know, no one is happy. But we have to please God, right? He's the one that we have to answer to. He's the one that is going to be the judge of what we do in this life. And so we need to please him above all others. And plainly presenting the truth without fear or favor, Paul says. He says that we're going to go ahead and speak forth the word of God without being afraid because of all of this. Not using these different devious methods to try to fool anyone. We're not trying to say anything that's not in the word of God. We want to only exalt the Lord and his word and be able to reach other people. So he says in verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words. You know, oh my, you know, you're such a wonderful person. You know, you just need to, have more self-esteem. You need to be built up in yourself. And, you know, this is the kind of thing you hear from many, many places. And yet that's not the gospel, is it? What does the gospel say about us? It says that we're poor, lost sinners on our way to hell. And Jesus died for us that we might be forgiven. You know? It's not anything that we do that saves us. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So here we see, first of all, the ideal servant is a faithful worker. That's what we're looking at here. Just day by day doing what God has called him to do, whatever it may be, and being faithful in carrying out the work as a good steward for God. Then we see the second point here is he's like a gentle mother. You might think that's a strange way. But this is what he says here, like a gentle mother, verse 7. For we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. You know, and here the idea is, from what I understand it, this nurse is the mother herself taking care of her children and caring for them in every way. You know how it is with a tiny baby, what you have to do for them. And Paul said, this is the way it was. We more or less changed your diapers and fed you with milk and all of this when you were first converted. It says, as what Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And not, we can't expect someone who is newly converted to be a Bible scholar and know everything and do everything correctly. It takes time, doesn't it? And so that's what he's saying here. We were like a gentle mother, caring for her child, helping her to take those first steps, you know, or feeding him and taking care of him. And he said, this is what we did, spiritually speaking. It says, we were desirous of you and willing to have imparted to you not the gospel only, but also our own souls. For ye were dear to us. You see, there's that love of the brethren, right? Paul went in not knowing these people at all. But after he got there and preached the gospel, and some of them believed, and it just, their hearts were bonded together. And that's the way it has to be if we're going to serve the Lord together. He says, you are dear to us. We have to love each other and serve, just like a mother. Paul had a great compassionate heart. It says over in Romans 9, Paul's great desire for his own people. This is always a good example to look at. In Romans 9, verse 1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. So Paul had a great burden. Even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles and went and established these churches, he still had a great burden upon his heart for his own people, for the Jewish people. And he said, I could even wish myself to be accursed from Christ for their sake, that they might be saved. And it shows you his heart, that he was like a mother. A mother's love, I guess, is one of the greatest things in this world. And certainly we as believers should love one another in that way. The third thing we see is he's like a caring father, verse 9. It says, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. A laborer, a father who is caring for his family, working night and day, and doing whatever is necessary, willing to work hard to provide for the family, and setting a good example for his children. It says in verse 10, you are witnesses, God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Setting a good example before others. He says we need to live holy lives, to be righteous in our and in our actions, and unblameable, have a good name, set a good example before other believers, especially the younger ones that need to have someone to guide them. And this is the job of a caring father, the job of a servant of the Lord. And also, he says, exhorting, in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. See? There's the role of the father. Exhorting, comforting, charging each one. And what did he say? That you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. So, to give that word to the people, and that they might walk righteously before God and do his will in all things. And the last thing we see is he's like a brother or a fellow disciple here in verse 14. And he says, you brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. He said, we are brethren. Paul was an apostle, yes, called of God to a special office, and yet he considered himself one of the guys, right? He is a brother. He is one that not above them or but an equal member of the family. Now, his position at times as an apostle, he had to let them know what was what, but he considered himself a fellow believer, and that's the way it has to be. There's no one higher than another in God's sight. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, right? We're all one in Christ Jesus and brothers and sisters in him. He shared the same persecution that they had. He speaks of that in he's talking here about the persecution that they had in Judea, and he says, you're going through the same kind of thing. And in verse 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. So Paul was run out of town, so to speak, right? They didn't like what he had to say, and they ran him away. But he says that he was wanting to exhort and bless the church there and keep it going, and he's so happy that they are faithful to the Lord in every area of life. He had the same kind of persecution that they did. He desired to be with them but was unable to, he says, because Satan hindered him. Now, that could cover a lot of ground, I guess. Satan uses various means to keep things stirred up, uses people many times to cause problems, and hinders the work of God. But we need to face up to him, and it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So that's what we need, and joy that Paul had in serving the Lord. In at the very end here, he returns to the second coming. You know, in the book of Thessalonians, every chapter ends with something about the second coming of Jesus. And in verse 19 it says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So here he returns to that blessed hope that we have, that Jesus is coming again. And he says, we're looking forward to that time when we'll all be there in his presence. He'll take us to be with him, with himself. He says, this is Titus chapter 2 says, this is our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, this is what the Lord wants us to be. A people for his name's sake, it is, right? It doesn't mean we have to be odd. It means that we need to stand up for the Lord and serve him, zealous of good works, doing what is right and good. So the Christian worker then, as we see in this chapter, is called upon to be a faithful and obedient servant, a gentle and loving mother, a godly, caring father, and a brother in the family of God that is serving him. And may the Lord enable us to be that kind of servant. And we live, as we live in this world today, we certainly need that. So there's so few that are really standing for the Lord, and we need to do that and look forward to that day when he's coming again, and the glory and joy that we have awaiting us when he does come. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today and for that hope that we have in our hearts that the Lord Jesus is coming again and that we will be in your presence. And we just praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us and ask you to bless your word to our hearts today. Help us to think upon it, to meditate on it, and to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you, but rather that we might do the good works that you have called us to do and serve you faithfully. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name.